This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and welcome to Duck Snore Baseball Podcast. I'm Greg Nix.
I'm Waylon McQueen.
And the baseball season is over. Sad. Always bittersweet.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
Oh, sorry, I interrupted you.
No, I. That's it. Bittersweet.
It is bittersweet because we love baseball.
Yeah.
But is there like any sort of like you're fine for like a like 5 days? You know what I mean? Like, because it is a long season, and this. And the postseason feels long because the games are long, especially game three. but you know what I mean? Like, is there any, like, almost like vacation time you enjoy and then you get right back? Are you, like, instantly like, oh, fuck?
Yeah, there is for me.
Yeah.
But I think mostly it's because I really like hot stove season.
So it's not really over for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like I'm happy to take a breath from the end of baseball games, like watch a little bit of basketball, do just non-sports related things.
Right.
But then pretty soon, like the rumors will start flying and I'll be very excited. And we will actually be talking about that very thing before the end of the show. We're going to do a couple of pre-free agency thoughts. We are, of course, going to be giving you our thoughts on the recently completed World Series. Congratulations to the Red Sox, who I doubted throughout the entire playoffs. You picked to win in our last episode, so you said in six. They did it in five, so pretty close.
Yeah.
But before we do any of that, I do want to give a shout-out to Boardwalk Audio for their production help. You can support Boardwalk Audio by going to ducksnorepodcast.com. Click the Support Our Artists link. That'll take you to Amazon. Shop like you normally would. Ducksnore and Boardwalk get a small percentage. Also, offthebenchbaseball.com. They will be bringing you off-season thoughts throughout the winter. So keep on visiting those guys. We very much appreciate their distribution help. Both of those teams very grateful for their help this season and for helping keep Ducksnore going, because it's been a pleasure for us. So with that all said, let's talk about the World Series. The Dodgers definitely went out with a whimper on Sunday.
Yeah.
I missed most of the game because, like I was just telling you before we started recording, I was umpiring the Los Angeles Baseball Federation Championship.
Were they playing it there, like on the radio or anything? Or did anybody have a Fox Sports Go information?
They were playing it in one of the dugouts, but it wasn't really loud enough.
You were umpiring, so you're out on the field.
Yeah, I was out on the field. I brought a speaker and I was like, I wonder if people will like be cool with it being on the field, but I don't think people would have been. So
yeah,
I was sort of just checking my phone in between innings, but yeah. You know, it didn't seem like I missed much, especially
I missed like the first six innings.
Yeah, well, and by that point it was basically decided, right?
I was playing dodgeball, of course, and also checking in on the Saints game because I have fantasy interests. I feel like, I mean, I know it's the World Series, but it's game, I wanted to see the end and that's it. I was checking, like, if dodgeball would have been over in the and it was like 3-3, I would have been like right in there. But by the time I checked like right after JD Martinez hit his home run.
Yeah. I would have watched it. I think I know your point, which is like, it's not because it wasn't necessary. It wasn't a game that felt like, I mean, it was an elimination game. I'm trying to figure out how to say this. It was an elimination game, but like not a particularly climactic one. Just because 3-1 it feels like we probably know what's going to happen most of the time. And the Dodgers, like the last five innings or whatever of game four, just like played like garbage and just like, you know, went, gave up nine unanswered runs. And even throughout the series with the, you know, weren't playing particularly well, even in the game that they won.
There was just no good way to see the Dodgers winning three games.
Yeah, it was hard.
Before the Red Sox won one.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously it didn't happen. I mean, I definitely, my big takeaway for sure is that I underestimated the Red Sox throughout the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that is just, you know, I didn't, I guess, yeah, I just underestimated their overall talent level, but I think part of that is because the specific weakness that I saw on their team, which was the bullpen,
they just didn't use it.
Yeah, they didn't use it. They just used starting pitchers, which like I think I could be forgiven for not predicting Nathan Eovaldi would turn into like this monster in the bullpen.
That was my favorite because I watched
the game three.
Did you watch
six
game three
performance?
We were texting during it. So I know the answer to that. I was texting with like a friend I haven't literally spoken to in 2 years about that game.
Yeah.
Just because we were baseball fans. But I think I started watching in the 10th of that game. Did you watch the whole thing?
Did you watch all seven hours and 20 minutes of that game? No, I watched like the first 2 hours maybe. And then I like left the house and went to dinner and went to do like a Halloween thing after dinner and then came home and it was like the 11th inning.
Yeah, it started 10 minutes after I got home from work. And then Katie and I like killed time. I think I even turned it off for us to like eat dinner and like watch something while we ate dinner. Katie is my wife, for everyone who doesn't know. Then like I did two improv shows and then went to a friend's house and that's when I started watching it. And that by that time it was like 9 or 9:30. It was like the 10th inning. Like I watched it during some of the improv shows, like hanging back in the theater on my phone.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
It was a really crazy game. And I'm glad that it was, torturous to watch almost. Like it wasn't, I just wanted it to be over. I can't even imagine people on the East Coast, but even though it was not like it was compelling, even if it wasn't enjoyable, right? Like Evaldi's performance was incredible, one of the best in World Series history, I think.
I totally agree with you.
Even though we lost. And I think that it's cool that even though the series as a whole was not necessarily thrilling, that there was a moment that everybody can remember from this series, you know, five years from now when they're like, what happened to the 2018 World Series? Well, oh, yeah, that was the game that's seven and a half hour long.
Where Nathan Eovaldi threw almost a complete game.
Yeah, after pitching in the last two games in relief. The other cool thing was that, like, literally every tweet in my like Twitter feed was about the game. Like, it was the only thing that people were talking about. And I feel like that it, with the exception of political events, that is extremely rare.
I was on Facebook and people were tweeting about it. And there were a lot of people just being like, why is everyone because we have a lot of friends that are not in sports.
Yeah.
Because we're in the arts community and there are a fair number of people. I feel like
a fair number of fucking dorks.
Yeah. Fucking dorks that don't like sports. But I don't think that's stereotyping to say that their arts community is not necessarily associated with sports.
Oh no,
we know plenty of sports fans, but there are just so many people even on my Facebook feed talking about it, and I'm like, it's like 11 o'clock on one of the, like on a Halloween weekend night.
Yeah,
and there are enough people like aware of this.
Yeah, there was
thing
like
going on.
Yeah, there were multiple Halloween parties going on, and like people at those Halloween parties probably watching the game who would.
I talked to people who were doing that, and I talked to someone who was watching the game like at a Halloween party that I didn't go to, kind of because I was watching the game.
Same, yeah.
But she was watching it with some friends and like kind of grumpy about being at a party. And then when Muncy hit the home run in the 18th. She said it was so funny because, like, five different pockets of the party. Like, you just heard, like, yelling from, because, like, everyone just found their little area to be watching around a phone.
That's
great. I don't
know
where the TV was at this party. But, yeah.
Well, okay, so let's shift to the Dodgers a little bit.
Okay.
because, like I said, underestimated the Red Sox and the depth level there, because the Stars didn't actually play well on the whole, the Red Sox Stars. No. And their depth was the thing that carried them, and I was surprised because I thought the Dodgers were the deeper team. But the Dodgers, Dave Roberts has taken a lot of flack out here in La La Land, which I think some of it is deserved, some of it less so. But they really just didn't look good for most of the series.
I think it's partly that. I think Dave Roberts is getting... I think you're right. I think he deserves some flack. But I think it's one of those situations that the Red Sox are so good that you kind of have to be like, you have to like get a B+ or higher manager to beat them.
I feel like Roberts is a B+ manager.
Well,
probably.
During the World Series, was he a B+ manager? I'm not saying overall. I'm just saying that I feel like Dave Roberts was maybe a C+, B- during the series, and you're not going to beat the Red Sox.
Well, okay. So like here, I really don't think he made too many mistakes. He made moves that backfired on him for sure, but
sure.
I can't blame him for going to Kenley Jansen when Walker Buehler has thrown 107 pitches.
I don't blame that.
I think the huge mistakes that he made were just continuing to go back to Ryan Madsen, who didn't look like he had anything in the entire playoffs, and Alex Wood similarly.
But we've seen in the... I can't remember specific examples, but I mean, I remember in the 2016 World Series or 2017 World Series with the Astros,
Giles?
Giles. Like, we've seen managers say, you don't have it. You're, like, essentially, you're done.
No.
And he was not willing to do that.
Right. And I think that was a huge, like, very glaring mistake that he made. But I think some of the other stuff that he's taking flack for as far as, like, lineup choices and that kind of a thing, I don't know that I disagree with, like, the way that he used Freese and Muncy.
I think it's mostly pitching stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like that, I don't know, it's such a tough line because I get the numbers and I get that he's looking past small sample size. So, like, we could be like, you know, Baez is killing lefty or whatever, but then he's like, that's not sustainable. And then these moves are backfiring. And, like, I understand, but it's like, if they keep backfiring, is it just bad luck, or did he slip a little?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think he slipped, but I guess my overall point is that I don't think he's a bad manager.
I don't either. I don't think like he should not. He's not Ned Yost.
Right.
Like Ned Yost is a terrible manager that doesn't deserve to win a World Series and almost win another one. Like,
yeah. And it is such a thin margin for error. I mean, it truly was inexplicable to bring Madsen into the game again. In game five.
And then he pulled Hill for a lefty.
No, game four.
And I know the numbers say that, but it's like also like, I don't know. Like, it's not, Hill was dealing, like.
Yeah.
Like, a lefty for a lefty feels weird. Like, he has to know that. And I know the numbers might bear out something different, but it's like, you're losing a World Series, like, something's obviously going wrong.
Yeah. Do we need to touch on this Trump tweet or no?
I mean, it's insane that he tweeted it.
It's so specific, too. I mean, to me, he obviously did not write it. Like, that was somebody on his team, like, being like, the NFL has been a very successful wedge issue for us.
Yeah.
So, like, what can we do to, like, get riled up regressive
like,
baseball fans?
Let's lighten the mood because there was another huge murder.
Lighten the mood. Yeah, that has not been a go-to staple of the political environment for the last 3 years.
Yeah, but also it's been a go-to staple to avoid talking about shit that we need to actually talk about.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Which is the perfect thing to do that.
I'll
do the popular thing and rip on Dave Roberts.
It's so fucking weird. And, like, there's some kind of weird, like, California thing wrapped up in it about how much he hates California and California hates him.
He does hate California.
It was very strange, but we don't need to go
I don't
in
think,
depth about it.
I don't think that Roberts cost them the series. I don't think that he's a bad manager. I think that he could have managed better, or he didn't help them get closer than they did, I guess. I think he was a little off the series. And I mean, Craig Counsell wouldn't have managed any differently, but the Red Sox probably would have smoked the Brewers, too.
Yeah, like, probably. I mean, the Red Sox did, I think the other thing I'll say about underestimating the Red Sox is, like, I don't think that I fully took into account when looking at this series and these teams, the difference in the level of competition in the American League and the National League. And, like,
that's a
good point. Not just the difference between, like, a 108-win team and a 92-win team, but a 108-win team in the National League and a 92-win team, or a 108-win team
League,
in the American League and a 92-win team in the National League.
That's a 108-win team with a 100-win team and a 90-win team with the Rays, or close to 90, 89.
Yeah, close. I'm not,
like,
sure.
That's their division.
Right.
Like, that's, and like, yeah. And the, I think more than underestimating the Red Sox, which I think we did, we might have overestimated the Dodgers. Like, this is a team
for
that
sure
barely beat the Rockies for the division.
Yeah, the Dodgers were underachievers, you know? They should have, like, been better than they were. And I think that was part of, like, looking at them coming into the World Series being like, well, they've played, you know, this is the best ball that they've been playing.
But
they even as bad as they were for much of the year, they still made it here. So, like,
yeah,
the talent has carried them this far, and it should carry them further. But
yeah, it felt like they were playing with house money a little bit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this year felt so, like, when's the last time, I was thinking about this earlier today, when's the last time, this is talking about the Red Sox, I guess, more than the Dodgers, but when's the last time there was a year that felt like this, as far as just, like, from the beginning, the Red Sox were the best, and then they never weren't the best. We never even thought. The only time we thought the Red Sox might lose a series is after game one of the ALCS.
Yeah.
That's really the only time I think anybody realistically was like, they might not win. Like, other than, like, going into a series when everyone tried to talk themselves into the Yankees or Astros or Dodgers.
Yeah, no, it's been a while, for sure.
It feels like, I don't know if you remember 98 when the Yankees won, like, 114 games and then just, like, only lost one or two games in the playoffs, like, and won 125 total games.
Yeah.
Like, that's the last time it's truly felt like there's been a team that's just dominated whole time.
They were so quietly dominant, though, too, was the thing. Like,
yeah.
I think, you know, there were very few ups and downs in their season. There were very few storylines, like, apart from Mookie Betts maybe having an incredible year. I don't think that, like, for whatever reason, I was like, the Red Sox are overrated, or, like, the Red Sox just are, like, you know, they're just the Red Sox. Like, I know they were good, but, like, I don't, the specificities of how they were good besides, like, Betts, JD Martinez, and Chris Sale were, like, kind of lost on me during the regular season.
Kimbrel wasn't having, like, a, oh my god, I'm gonna remember this closer dominant year, or at least that wasn't a storyline.
Yeah, no, definitely not. And, like, even the other, you know, Xander Bogaerts had a very good year. Benintendi had a very good year, but nothing that, like, was part of the national conversation in any way. And so maybe there's even, like, an LA bias to it, whereas, like, I could tell you a lot more about Justin Turner or Cody Bellinger's season than I could about Andrew Benintendi or Xander Bogaerts.
I think it's probably an LA bias, but also, like, how many Yankees, like, we could say more about, like, Gleyber Torres' season, Aaron Judge's season, Giancarlo Stanton's season.
Yeah.
Like, that's then right there in their own division. It just was, yeah, they somehow flew under the radar. It's almost like those old Cardinals teams that just had, like, Pujols and then, like, Carpenter or Wainwright.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, wait, who, David Freese is good, or Ryan Ludwig is good? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
they're,
it's
just,
like,
boringly good. That's what it was. They were just,
yeah,
like so good it was boring.
It's like when you're in, like, an auction fantasy draft and your strategy is just to get, like, all, like, the $25 guys. or you get one superstar.
Right, yeah.
But you don't waste all your money on everyone else. Like, but they also have the highest payroll. But it's because they're paying Price so much.
Well,
and
they're paying Pablo Sandoval and Hanley Ramirez.
True. Yeah.
It
seems like Alex Cora is also just a really good clubhouse guy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't,
the players,
I guess,
seem
I don't know,
to love him.
They seem to super love him.
He's funny too, actually. Like, in interviews and stuff, like, he's got a personality that I like.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Andy, like, did credit to him. The way that he managed those pitchers, I think, was the difference in at least one, if not more than one game. I mean, even like pulling Price for game five, like that was a surprise. And I don't know how much of Price pitching well is just like sort of luck and how the dominoes fell and stuff, but and how much of it is him being like, no, Price is the guy for like this analytical reason and this interpersonal reason or whatever. But like every lever that he pulled basically throughout the playoffs worked.
And this like, yeah, because we don't know like what analytics he was using and everything, but I think the difference is that there was definitely luck involved. I mean, Eovaldi throwing like he did was 100% luck. Completely saved that bullpen.
Yeah.
I mean, they already used a lot of pieces, but like would have been way worse because Pomerantz would have had like it. Like
they probably, well, I guess they did lose that game, but
I guess they just would have lost it earlier.
Yeah.
Because like, it would have been a walk off. But so there's some luck to difference between him and Roberts. But see, the idea that we're like Roberts just definitely was going analytical versus Cora, maybe he went with it, like, that's where this like weird fuzziness is between Roberts constantly just going towards like, I'm looking at the analytics versus whatever Cora did. Although maybe Cora did that and it's just not being hyped as much.
Yeah. I will say I don't think that Roberts would have left Eovaldi out there.
There's no way he would have.
For better or for worse. Like, right. I kind of wanted them to take Eovaldi out because I was like worried for his well being as like,
yeah, he was,
you know, his health.
Tired.
It was like very compelling to watch. Eovaldi pitched great, as far as we know so far, is no worse for the wear, and potentially had some kind of like galvanizing thing for the team, even where it's like this dude went out there and like gave it literally all he had. Like, all us guys who are out of the game at this point and can contribute nothing else, like, we better bring our shit tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Like, JD Martinez is sitting there being like, I gotta score some runs tomorrow.
Right, exactly.
Porcello, like, cried about it. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Like, in an interview. Like, that's so... that made me... Like, that endeared me to the Red Sox.
Yeah.
This whole thing. Do you think Roberts leaves Price into the eighth in game five?
Because
I thought that was kind of ballsy too, like, Price could have imploded at any moment, and it wasn't like it's not like they're up like 10-0.
I don't know, it's hard to say because I don't think Roberts was really in that position through most
of
the postseason of
like
it felt like the pressure was on the Dodgers in basically every game since the NLCS.
I guess he left Kershaw in for eight for the Braves, the Braves game.
So, like, when you have a little bit more breathing room when you're up three games to one
true.
And have, like, a 4-1 lead or whatever it
and
was.
And you're going
at that
back
point
to Fenway with Chris Sale on another extra day's rest, even.
Yeah.
How jazzed were you when Sale came in for the ninth?
I saw that he came in and I was like, huh. And then, but I didn't even realize it was the ninth inning because I was literally checking it during pitch, between pitches, like, on the field.
Yeah.
But, I think I'm happy for Sale. He
meant business in that last inning.
Yeah, he sure
that.
Did. That Machado, where he just got Machado to fall down. Like,
yeah. But the strikeout before it was just as dirty.
Yeah.
Just
I mean, that is
down.
The true thrill of watching Sale is those, like, where he just makes hitters look fucking ridiculous, where it's like that numerous times, like, batters have struck out on pitches that like hit their back foot.
That's what, like, that I was basically like by the second or third pitch, I was like, the only way Sale is giving up runs is if he starts hitting people. Like, there, he's just, he is not going to lose this game.
Yeah,
he is tired of.
I think that last pitch though, like, that's going to be a highlight that we see in highlight reels of the World Series. Like,
oh, for
forever.
Sure. It's going to be like, it might end up being like a defining, his defining deal.
Yeah. And because it just, because it was Machado too.
Yeah.
And like the way in which it happened, it was,
of course,
awesome.
It was Machado. Yeah.
Okay. So I actually want to just throw some names out there.
Okay.
Since you mentioned defining, I was thinking this anyway, throw some names out there for what we think this World Series will mean to their career in like a bigger scope.
Okay.
Like either
this
how
is great.
It,
this
you know,
is great.
Yeah, yeah, how it will impact their career going forward and like also potentially how it may be looked back on in a couple of
right,
years.
Right.
So I think Sale is one for me. And I think he's lucky that he got that big highlight at the
otherwise
end.
Otherwise, he's an afterthought.
Because, yeah, otherwise yeah. he basically doesn't contribute in yeah. the World Series and barely contributes in the playoff run.
Right. Yeah, and I still think kind of people aren't... I think that moment's going to live because it was such a yeah. cool-looking strikeout. And people are happy for Sale. But since he probably also won't win the Cy Young... I think that
ooh,
he...
Ooh, hot take.
You think he's going to win the Cy Young?
I think if he pitches... The next time he pitches 200 innings, he's going to win the Cy Young.
No, I meant... I'm sorry, this
oh,
year.
Oh, this year?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No,
he's
sorry,
not
yeah.
going to win the
Cy Young. He's not
going to
win the Cy Young. So that's why I think that overall, this series is not going to be very associated with Sale. So I think he had that nice moment, but I think that this is... I mean, of course, he's very happy they won a World Series, but I don't think this plays a huge... part of his legacy. I guess that's what you're asking.
Yeah, I agree. I think he, you know, it's good that he will have been relieved of the mantle of like a guy who, because before he went to the Red Sox, he had never pitched in the playoffs even. And
right.
like, so I think he escaped this with like, he's a World Series champion, which like you can't take away from him. And he didn't get sort of yoked to that. Spoiler alert for who I want to talk about next, Clayton Kershaw and David Price thing of like, this guy can't pitch in the playoffs because
yeah.
that's a very hard thing to shake.
I think he probably has like two seasons of free pass for that.
Yeah.
You know, like I think he can be kind of bad the next two postseasons mm-hmm. unless he like truly implodes or like, you know, like,
yeah.
Like gives up like a 6-run lead in the seventh or something. Like I think that he's so far up that he can go down.
Right. So, David Price.
I mean, it's redemption.
Yeah.
Forget about it. Who like no one cares. He could be bad forever. Right? Like
yeah.
he 100% completely redeemed himself. I think he should have been the MVP. Although I knew Pierce was going to as soon as he hit the second home run.
Yeah.
But like
I was really like, hoping Evaldi would like somehow win the MVP,
yeah.
but it would have taken another like a game yeah. seven, like three or four shutout innings.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think it would have been nice if Price won it, but I also like don't mind that Pierce won
it. I mean, I get why Pierce won it.
Yeah.
But I mean, like he could go 0-9 his next 9 starts again or whatever it was, and it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, even more so, like changes the entire tenor of his Boston career.
Yeah.
Like he's been a huge underachiever since he got to Boston, and he had the weird thing with Eckersley last year.
Yeah,
that
weird
feud, and like I think Boston fans took a long time to warm up to him, and I think it's, you know, he was very good again this year, and so the fact that he was able to, like, in one fell swoop, kind of, like, get rid of Boston baggage and playoff baggage is pretty cool.
I guess the one demon left is the Yankees, right? He still pitched pretty bad, especially in the playoffs against the Yankees.
Yeah.
Like, if he could beat the Yankees in a playoff game next year, then that's it.
Yeah,
he's
sure.
fine.
Yeah.
He's albatross lifted.
Yeah, and I don't know that Price is a Hall of Famer. I think that, like, potentially he could be. Like, he's done enough that he's not out of the running yet, but he would need to sort of rebound and have a few more great years.
Yeah.
But I think that, like, for him, the playoff thing would have been a huge strike against him, even if he
Definitely.
Comes back and, like, has, you know, four more All-Star seasons. That would have been a huge strike against him in sort of his Hall of Fame case and his career overall narrative. So it's cool, and he seems like a good guy.
Yeah.
Did you watch the press conference where they were sort of asking him about the rest of the team, and he was tearing up and kind of
yeah,
needed a
yeah,
minute to collect
yeah.
himself? It was
so.
Very sweet.
I just think his performance in Game 5, I mean, he had two other good starts too, but it's just like, man,
yeah.
on the road, World Series clinching game, he went into the 8th.
On short rest. Yeah.
And he saved Chris Sale. Like,
yeah.
They called him so they didn't have to use Sale. And like,
they didn't have to use Kimbrel because they didn't have to use Sale.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think like forever he can point to that if Boston fans give him shit to be like, what more do you want from me? I gave you game 5 of that series.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. All right. More names?
Kershaw.
I don't know, man. Like, I just feel like he was so good. It's hard. And he hasn't been like, he was not as bad as Price. He hasn't been as bad as Price was in the playoffs.
No, he's been, he's just, I mean,
he's
this.
He's just been like, okay.
He's been up and down. You know, this series was sort of a microcosm, or this playoffs was sort of a microcosm of his career in the playoffs, which is like, you know, he'll be lights out and then he'll go six or seven innings and give up five runs.
I think it's disappointing and it'll be mentioned, but I think he was so good that I don't, to me, it doesn't matter. I mean,
what do you mean he was so good?
He's in
his overall career.
Yeah, it's like, remember when Barry Bonds got a bunch of shit for not being good in the playoffs until he finally was. But like, even then, it's like, if Barry Bonds never had a good playoff, it's like he was Barry Bonds.
Yeah,
like it's like, he's Clayton Kershaw. Like it's yes, it sucks. If you're a Dodgers fan, it super sucks that he isn't Verlander in the playoffs. But it doesn't knock him. Like, overall, legacy-wise, it's annoying. Yeah. I would rather not hear that storyline anymore.
Yeah. I'm disappointed because, similarly, I like him, and I would rather not hear or talk about him being bad in the playoffs. But, like, he hasn't been great.
Yeah.
And he hasn't particularly... I mean, this is not his fault, but the Dodgers have needed him to be as good as he can be. They haven't given him... any the team hasn't had the breathing room for him to have a playoffs like Chris Sale just did and be good anyway.
Yeah.
You know, maybe last year, but then they, until they ran into the Astros, who were equally good. But yeah, it is kind of like, I feel like his failures are magnified because the Dodgers have not had great starters otherwise either.
I think that's a good point.
You know, they haven't really had a David Price to step up and be like, I got this one now.
Yeah.
You know, like.
I mean, they had Walker Buehler and Rich Hill both.
Yeah. Buehler was lights out.
Yeah.
That's true.
But I guess, that you can't, like, rely on that.
Yeah. I guess I was thinking more of, like, in the sort of Zach Greinke years and stuff like that. Like,
right.
I don't know. They just needed him to be better than he was, and this year too. Yeah, I don't know. It just sucks.
I hope he's not in his head or anything. But like, also, I feel like it's the same thing. Again, Barry Bonds was great in the 2002 World Series, and then no one ever talked about that again.
Yeah,
I mean, he had other things to talk about. But like, Kershaw comes out.
Like what?
His earring.
Yeah, right.
Kershaw comes out next year, even if the Dodgers don't win the World Series. But if he goes 4-0 in the playoffs with a 1.5 ERA, like. I think everyone will shut up.
Yeah. Well, let's pivot, because I want to sort of talk about two things at once, which is there's a couple more guys who I want to talk about from the World Series, but they also happen to be free agents. Kershaw is able to opt out of his deal, and it seems like probably will, although we don't know for sure.
Yeah.
We talked about this a little bit last week, but do you think Kershaw stays with the Dodgers after sort of this series? Does this impact it at all?
So I think maybe, like, because I think that he might be, like, it might just be like a change of scenery thing. You know what I mean? Like, he might be in his head a little bit about this and the pressure that you're just talking about that he's felt from the Dodgers every year for so long. It might be nice just to go somewhere else. He'll still have the same pressure. But you know what I mean? Like, if he goes somewhere else with a decent pitcher, I don't know where he'd go. Who would sign him? The Nationals?
Yeah.
Can you imagine Scherzer?
That'd be cool.
Kershaw. Like, but like, if he, it's like
Astros, if the Astros could trade out Dallas Keuchel for Clayton Kershaw, I bet they would.
I bet they would too. And like, I guess like the talk is that he'd go to the Rangers, but then the pressure's off because they're not good.
Yeah.
Like, otherwise,
I would be surprised.
Yeah. Like, if he goes to a place that, like, that has just one other pitcher that fills the role that you said. So he doesn't have to, so he's not, it's not even weird if he ended up being a game two starter. That might just make him feel better.
Yeah.
I know this is like crazy, not at all good analysis talk, but like, maybe that's what he needs. Maybe he just doesn't want to be in the dot. I don't know. That's like, that's the only reason to opt out, right?
Yeah. Well, or to get a longer guarantee than because I think he has two more years.
Downhill year.
Yeah, it's weird. It is really hard to tell, sort of, with the combination of the injuries he's had. He's lost a fair amount of velocity, sort of overall, but like he's been losing velocity, and it hasn't really impacted his results. He basically just throws like 91 now. At like a huge percentage of the time, like he throws like both a fastball and a slider that are 91 miles an hour, basically, and then as like 75 mile per hour curveball. So yeah, it is really kind of tough to see with any kind of clarity what kind of pitcher he's going to be in 2 or 3 years, much less even next season.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I was hoping it would turn out better for him.
Me too. Like, he's so good. That's why he's too good for this to be. It's just like what we talked about Pujols, like, whatever, a month ago, where it's like, this sucks that all we remember about Pujols is how bad he is on the Angels.
Yeah.
And
right.
If all we remember about Kershaw is how bad he is in the playoffs, it's not good.
Yeah. Not fun as a baseball fan. So the another guy, this will be the last pitcher, I think, that I wanted to talk about, but Eovaldi. I'm really curious what is going to end, where he's going to end up this offseason. It seems like the Red Sox maybe would be a favorite to bring him back at this point with how well he pitched and sort of like what his performance meant to the team. But he's going to have no shortage of suitors either, I don't think. And I'm just really curious. I guess if I had to guess, I would say the Red Sox re-sign him. But I'm very curious, like, what his career looks like in a couple years. Like, is this a flash in the pan thing? Yeah. Is this the start of, is he an all-star the next couple years?
He's 28, like, right?
Yeah, 28 or 29. I could see him being, like, almost a Rich Hill type dude, but, like, younger, but, like, who's, you know, really good for 130 innings every year. But, like, that's all you're going to get out of him.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know enough about, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I
don't know enough about him to say.
I know his, like, general story.
Right, yeah.
But, like, he was so nasty, especially out of the bullpen. Like, man, if he, like, became a Andrew Miller, like, Josh Hader, 2 or 3 inning guy, like,
or just,
he would just be unhittable.
Yeah, and, like, if the opener gains speed, you know what I mean? If he's the guy that comes in second to go face the order twice through, but like the second, third time through, like that's feels like the perfect role for him, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think like it'll be really interesting because there's some savvy team out there who could like figure out if there is some savvy team that can figure out how to maximize his value as like this injury prone dude who throws smoke, who like has had control problems throughout his career, but is like locked in this year.
Feels like the A's, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't think they'll have enough
money
for him.
It feels like the A's, though.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't like who's gonna
like Yankees. Maybe you can't ever count out the Yankees.
You can't ever count the Yankees
if they sort of put him in
Phillies. Is that a good move for the Phillies to grab him?
Maybe
they're about to contend.
Yeah,
that might be something.
Yeah. I guess wherever he ends up, I hope that somebody figures out like a creative role for him. Cause I'm not sure that he's ever going to be a 200 inning guy, but you know,
but he's a hero.
Yeah.
He's a hero to me. He's a hero to me. Yeah. That performance was amazing.
It was awesome. Really the one thing that kept that game even watchable as a fan.
That really tested your baseball fandom is watching an 18 inning.
Oh, it really
World
did.
Series game
just a not exciting one either. Like even when they scored their runs, it was like these little like dinks and like
so
errors.
Many
and
little
shit.
Dumb.
Okay, a couple more guys. Manny Machado, the victim of Chris Sale's ugly ass strikeout.
Just hand him a Mets uniform and let's stop talking about it, right?
That'd be fantastic. I would love that. I feel like this is probably not true from like a baseball front office executive's perspective because they are so like you know, they're well trained and like business savvy and focused and shit. And so it's all about, I don't know. What I'm basically saying is, I don't know that is sort of being a shitty dude during this postseason impacts him all that much, but I don't know where he's going to sign. I mean, it's weird that I think the sort of usual suspects don't really need him, right?
Is he going to play short?
I don't know.
Because Angels, if he plays third, I know they have Cozart.
Yeah, but are they going to... They have Cozart. Are the Angels ready to drop $300 million and re-sign Mike Trout?
Yeah.
I don't think Angels. I think I can see him staying with the Dodgers and maybe they move... They put him at third and move Turner to second? If they like really want to like
the New York Mets
make
Blue Jays
could be. I don't think the Wilpons have that much money to give someone.
The Rangers or the Blue Jays? I mean, that means Beltre's out if it's the Rangers.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to think of anybody who has money.
Phillies make sense.
That would be.
I
think that'd be so dumb in a rebuild like this.
They've got a ton of money, man. They have like 40 million committed, and they like were running $200 million payrolls like a couple years ago. Like they could sign both Harper and
Machado. I'm not saying they
couldn't.
I
think they're actually maybe the team that makes the most sense because they don't have answers on the left side of their infield. You know,
because like everybody, Yankees don't need him. Red Sox
Yankees and Red Sox don't need him.
Don't need him. Cubs don't need them.
Yeah,
need him.
Well, actually, Cubs, well...
Baez and Bryant, they don't...
Yeah, unless they want to move Baez back to second.
Or Bryant into the outfield, but...
Yeah, I don't think they do
they
that
so many
full-time.
Yeah.
I do think... I'm going to say Dodgers or Phillies is my prediction.
Or the Mets.
Or the Mets.
I'm not going to roll out the Mets until it's not the Mets.
Yeah, I also do wonder, just going back to legacy talk real quick, like how Machado will be perceived from here on out, because I don't think the general baseball world, including myself, was aware of just what a little shithead he was.
Seems like only the AL East knew.
Yeah, he was so like just pissy and lame the entire playoffs. It fucking sucked.
In fact, I was thinking of who my favorite Oriole was, and it would have probably been him. We haven't done them yet. And I'm like, this tiny legacy, I was just like, I can't pick Manny Machado if this is what he was like and I didn't know about
it.
Because it seems like he's always been this way.
I guess.
Seem new from everything I've been hearing.
Yeah, but from afar, he seemed like such an exciting, like vibrant player.
Yeah.
Like to me, he is the flip side of like Javi Baez, where it's like all the people who hate the shit that Javi Baez does, they're actually just thinking of Manny Machado. Like Baez and Puig are like energetic and like cocky and in a fun way, and Machado is just like a shitty.
Yeah, Baez
asshole.
Does not do that dumb kind of shit, and neither does Bryce Harper. I think that people who hate Bryce Harper are also thinking of Machado because Bryce Harper does not do. Because I also don't love Puig or Harper, because I just think the way that they brag is a way that I don't like generally.
Yeah,
I don't like. I can't put my finger on it. Like I don't mind being boastful and like having fun, but if. What I'm now that I see Machado, I'm like, oh yeah, Harper. Yeah, so Harper wears a helmet too big, so his helmet flies off and his hair, like flies. Who cares?
Not that big a deal.
Yeah. So it's like it's making me also reevaluate why I don't like players. Mm-hmm. It's like people don't like Machado for like kicking. That's so. Yeah, we talked about it already. What a dick.
It was.
And
sort of if he insists on playing short as opposed to third. That'll be interesting to see how that affects both his public perception, because like there was such a Jeter backlash when Jeter was bad at shortstop, right?
And wouldn't let A-Rod stay there.
Yeah, and how it'll affect probably his market and the number of teams who want him. All right, one last thing since you brought it up, and since we're talking free agency, where do you think Harper's going to end up?
I don't think it's the Nationals, right?
Really?
You think it's the Nationals?
I do.
I have no... Here's the thing. The only reason I would... I don't think it's going to be the Nationals. Partly, I don't know. Because, like, I feel like this season was so weird. Like, it feels like a natural break time from them. You know what I mean? Like, but the only reason I think it could be the Nationals is, like, I don't know who else it's going to be.
Right, exactly.
I don't think it's going to be the Cubs. It could be, but it just doesn't feel like it's going to be. I don't think it'll be the Yankees.
Yeah, the Yankees are the team that, like, you would assume, but it doesn't make sense for them with the roster that they have. Any team can make room for Bryce Harper, but you don't necessarily, like, spending $350 million for a position that's not a need is kind of, I don't know, it would just be surprising.
I don't think it could be the Dodgers because they're stacked in the outfield.
Yeah, what the Phillies do will be really interesting because they are the sleeping giant.
Feels like Phillies will probably nab one of these guys, like one of these free agents.
I think so.
I don't know.
Yankees, you can't count them out. I mean, you know, maybe they sign Machado and move Andujar because he was pretty bad at third base. Or maybe they sign Harper and Stanton's a DH full-time now.
But Stanton's, like, not that bad in the field.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, I'm just, like, and Harper's not that good. It's like, I guess it's an extra, it's the bat. And
right.
You're basically.
I mean, that would be just, like, a terrifying, like, an unfair lineup.
It'd be so funny, too, because think about how small Harper would still seem around that lineup. Like, everyone's so huge.
Yeah.
Harper would look like the smallest
dude. Yeah, he's probably smaller than, like, Gary Sanchez, even.
He might be smaller than Torres. like, that team is so big.
Yeah.
I know we talked about it before, but. Just thinking about Harper looking relatively small.
That's
but still
funny.
Being like the third best power bat in the lineup.
Yeah. Yeah, but I kind of think Nationals, I think it makes sense for them to keep him, even though there's other ways to shake things up. And they do have, you know, some good prospects coming down the pike still. So, you know, maybe they re-sign him and they break up other parts of the team.
Sure. I think goodwill-wise, like, I think that would cast Harper in a positive light on the baseball community as a whole.
To stay in one place.
I think people appreciate that generally.
Yeah.
Fair or unfair.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But I think people who are down on Harper might be like, okay, like he... Because I think even if he signs for like what he would get anywhere, it would feel like a sacrifice. Unless you found out that the Nationals offered him like $30 million more than anyone. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I feel like people generally, when someone stays, even for the same amount of money, it's in your mind, you're like, oh, look, yeah, he could have lived in New York City, and here,
yeah,
you know, like.
And here he is in humble little Washington, D.C.
But I think there is part of that. I think that creates this idea of like, man, he's sticking with the team, and he's even when they were bad.
No, I'm with you. I'll say, I know we're out of time. One last thing that. One last team, I guess, is like it'd be interesting to see if the Giants try to put together any kind of last run with these guys they have now, because they certainly have the money to get Harper if they want him, and maybe that's a fit, or Machado.
Did you know that
maybe
they
maybe
had the second highest payroll this year?
Yeah, I mean they were terrible for a lot of money, but I think at least some of that money is coming off the books.
It must be.
At least McCutchen is.
I could be wrong
about that, but. Any team that has that much money has another $30 million if they want to spend it, you know, per year.
But that's not an easy place for a lefty to hit dingers.
I don't know. Probably not going to happen, but just a team
that popped into my head as a possibility.
That
makes, after the Yankees and Nationals, that kind of makes the second most sense.
Yeah, I could see it happening. He'd look good in
those, Cubs,
like, almost white uniforms. I love this. Giants uniforms.
The Cubs, like, at least in Cubs fandom, it won't die that he's going to go there, but it just doesn't seem to make any
sense. That's how Machado is with White Sox fandom. Everybody thinks the White Sox are going to sign Machado.
I don't know if Machado will do that, will he?
Well, I mean, unless it's like a Robinson Cano thing where they offer him $50 million more than the next team or whatever, but no, I don't think so. It'd be ridiculous.
AJ Pierzynski would be thrilled. Have another asshole hanging around.
Just chilling.
Look at you thought I was mad. Look at this guy.
Yeah, I hope not. I really don't want to root for him. All right, well, we're out of time. That's it for the 2018 baseball season. People.
The World Series ends with him striking out, and our World Series podcast ends with you saying, I don't want to root for him.
Manny Machado sucks. That's the moral of this season. We'll be back at some point this offseason to talk about the goings on, I think.
We'll talk about the awards.
Yeah. We'll be back intermittently. Yeah. So stay tuned. Until then, thank you guys so much for listening. Thanks again to Boardwalk and Off the Bench. As always, you can follow us on Twitter and leave reviews and stuff. Also, thanks to Moonbounce for the transition music. And that's all we got.
Yeah. Season in the books.
Season in the books. Bye, baseball. We'll talk to you guys later.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.